The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to CPA Reviewed, the official podcast of Another71.com, where we make the CPA exam far, far, far more exciting than it ever was intended to be. I am your host, Jeff Elliott. Today is Wednesday, December 21st. A very Merry Christmas to you. Yes, I'm not really a happy holidays kind of guy, so Merry Christmas, everyone. All right, today's show, we have a lot of questions to get to. I think we have about 30 in total. So let's get to it. Bob writes, and Bob is our secret code for anonymous. If the SEC hasn't approved IFRS, why is it on the CPA exam? Bob, that is an excellent question. And I think what the AICPA was going for was, back when they added IFRS to the CPA exam in January of 2011, they thought, okay, for sure, IFRS is going to be implemented within the next couple of years, and so we need to get our entry-level CPAs ready so that they need to understand the basic IFRS concepts. Well, who knows if that will ever come to fruition or if the SEC will ever adopt IFRS. But so to answer your question, why do they do it? They wanted to ease entry-level CPAs into it. And the IFRS questions that you need to know for the CPA exam are not crazy, but you need to know the basic differences, Maybe it's good to know the basic differences. You never know when it'll come up during a random dinner conversation, or you're ordering your 5-shot eggnog latte at Starbucks, and the baristas are talking about IFRS, and you want to chime in. I mean, that type of knowledge is good to have in your back pocket. Hey, they want you to know what a compiler is. For BEC and auditing. So if you need to know what a compiler is, well, it makes sense that you should know what IFRS is. Neither of which you'll probably ever use in your everyday life as a CPA. Unless you work in public or industry for a publicly traded company, and then you probably will run into IFRS for sure. I am struggling with BEC. I've taken it, and this is Maritza. I've taken it 4 times and failed, but I have passed every other section. My first credit expires August 2012. I plan on taking BEC again in January-February 2012 testing window. I'm not sure my review course is doing enough to prepare me for BEC. Can you please give me some guidance for BEC? Do you think I should purchase a different review course? Okay. She's taken BEC 4 times and failed. Yes, if you've taken an exam section 4 times with a review course, it's time to change. It's not necessarily your review course's fault. Maybe you're just not a match for them. Maybe you're not studying hard enough. I'm guessing you are since you passed the other sections. But just for motivational purposes, I think for that 5th time, I mean, you don't want to stare at the same middle-aged guy talking about cost accounting. So you need a change of pace for sure. Get a different review course. Go to another71.com and click on the forum and ask people what they use to pass BEC, and you will get many colorful opinions. Lori says, I started studying for the exam earlier this year using a combination of my review course and your Ninja Notes. Love them, by the way. Thank you, Lori. I have passed, and she did say that, by the way. I didn't put that in there. I passed financial and auditing. My original plan was to study for regulation next. I just looked and discovered my review course has not released the 2012 study materials. Would studying with 2011 materials hurt me, or would it be better to take BEC next? Okay. The 2012 CPA exam is unlike a testing year that we've seen for a year or two. From 2010 to 2011, you needed to get the updated materials because new information was being added, like IFRS. And they also moved around some of the parts for the CPA exam. Well, that's not the case for 2012. And you will see CPA review courses admitting this, saying, as long as you have updated 2011 materials, you should be good to go. I bet that really hurts them to say that. But it's the truth. Because for regulation, you need to know tax laws that have been signed into law within the last 6 months, which makes them eligible for the CPA exam. But not every tax law, because the CPA exam doesn't test every tax law. So you have your foundation of the basic tax concepts that they test on. And unless they're going to add in some stuff, like, of course, this isn't really tax, but like the Dodd-Frank Act, they tell you. So they put out an update to their content specification outline. So tax laws, have tax laws changed? No. For all material purposes, no. I mean, you should look up what the estate laws are for 2012, but they're the same as 2011. And check and make sure that the Section 179 deduction and threshold hasn't changed, and it hasn't. And like if your materials are updated as of for the July 2011 changes, because they added in a few things, like, for instance, for regulation, the Dodd-Frank Act, for auditing, they added in international audit standards. So, wait, no. Scratch that. That was BEC. that's corporate governments. Never mind. So BEC, that for corporate governance, they added in international internal audit standards. So if your materials are updated as of July 1st, 2011, you should be good to go for your 2012 exams. So if your course gave you a free update, which I hope they did, then you should be ready to rock for your 2012 exams. And it's always a good idea you don't have to go blow a couple thousand dollars. You can get like a Wiley test bank from me. A little. I am very biased about the stuff that I sell. Wiley test bank and the Ninja Notes. And you can always ask people on the forum, what did you think about the Ninja Notes? Usually the people that respond are the people who liked them. And if there were some people that didn't like them, they usually don't. But so thank you. my satisfaction rate for the Ninja Notes are sky high. So, and if they weren't, I would ask why and I would change it. But so far, so good. So I guess back to Lori's question before I went on that little marketing tangent. Would studying for the 2011 materials hurt me? No, as long as they're updated for the July 2011 changes. Very important. And I don't think it affects what section you take next. So if your original plan was to study for regulation and you've already been studying for it, continue. So that's what I would do. Jason says, I've heard you've mentioned that the actual CPA exam at the testing center is a little easier in level of difficulty than the test bank software questions. Did I understand you correctly? Also, is it just me or do the Wiley Book questions seem a lot more difficult than the Wiley Test Bank software questions. Well, by the time that you've gone through the gauntlet of the Wiley questions, both in the book and on the software, like, those are some hard questions. And if you know those, walking into exam day, it's kind of like mixed martial arts fighters. They go through training hell, going through insane sparring matches and sick cardio. And they go up into the mountains of California and they train really hard. And so it's a nightmare, so that when they actually get into the cage or the octagon, it's not as hard as what they've been training for. And they're used to it, and they actually do better in the fight than they did during training. Same thing with the CPA exam. If you put in the time and you do all your CPA exam cardio and you do the hard sparring rounds, you do the sparring rounds with the Wiley online test bank, when you get into the exam questions will seem less wordy than what you are used to. And if they seem as wordy or on par with what you had been studying, that probably means that you have shifted into a hard test lit, which means you're doing well. Are the Wiley test bank questions easier than the book questions? I don't know. It could be that if you did the book questions first and worked out all the kinks and moved on to the software questions, you were doing better. I don't know how Wiley mixes the book versus software questions, but I recommend using both. Bob writes, aka Anonymous, I have the Wiley Test Bank of 2006 through 2007 for all parts. Is it advisable to go through the questions in there for problem solving in regards to the audit section? I would take those 2006 through 2007 questions and I would either burn them or throw them in the trash. Or if there's someone studying for the CPA exam that you absolutely hate, gift it to them for Christmas. Don't use those questions. Get new questions. You definitely need to use new questions for the 2012 exam. And stuff like the Wiley software, it's so cheap. I mean, relative to these courses that cost like the equivalent of a mortgage payment, the Wiley book and software is so affordable. So there's no reason why you shouldn't have new stuff. Especially when I noticed the schedule was like so expensive. I mean, why risk it? Howard writes, for FAR, I know that you do one module at a time and then progress to the next module after you get between a 70 to 80% on a sample test of 20 questions. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Actually, that's not what I recommend. Howard is right. I thought he meant after you watch the video, do the questions. No. Yeah. You're right. After you do a section of questions, a mini test of 20 questions for financial, let's say it's pensions, do a section of 20 questions over pensions, you score between 70 to 80%. I mean, this is like your last week of your review. Move on. Howard, sorry to interrupt. Continue. But there's so much time and information that you learn between the first module and the last module. This is true. How do you prevent yourself from forgetting information before you reach the end of the last module? Very great question. Good question. As you're watching your videos or whatever you're doing, hopefully you have a review course. You watch all the videos, take killer notes, and how you don't forget is that while you're watching the videos, instead of just staring at the screen, you are scribbling, you're writing, you're taking notes, you're writing stuff down, you're writing down example problems. And then So Ninja, N-I-N-J, the J is just rewrite it. You rewrite those notes, and that's how you bring it all back. You reabsorb the information, and that's how you don't forget. You must take notes. If you have a review course that is telling you to highlight, don't do that. Like, coloring pretty colors on a piece of paper will not help you to remember the concepts. You must write it down. And then if you can, this is a best practice, write it again. I have yet to have someone say, Jeff, I took your advice and I rewrote my notes and darn you. No. There, most people, if they take the time to comment at all, it's to say thank you. Do it. Write it down. Rewrite your notes. And going back to multiple choice questions, after scoring 70, 80%, yeah, move on. And then maybe you just keep doing touch-up questions. But especially for financial, there's a lot of information to get through. And I think people get hung up because maybe they're perfectionists, so they have to get through every single pension question the week before the exam. Well, guess what? They only get through like 5 out of the 20 sections or whatever. So, no, I mean, you are doing this to pass the CPA exam. You're not writing an accounting doctoral thesis that you're going to have to defend in front of a group of faculty. Accounting professors. I always wondered if accounting professors actually ever worked in the real world. I know some of them did, but anyway, I won't get same with your MBA. Like, you're getting a master's in business administration. Okay. They're teaching you how to excel in business. Have they ever excelled in business? Have they, if there is an entrepreneurship track for your MBA, have the people that are teaching it, have they ever been an entrepreneur? Have they ever owned their own business? Have they ever had to set aside 30% of their net income each month for estimated taxes? I don't. Moving on. I am prone to rants today. Melissa says, I'm sitting for regulation on January 9th, 2012. Will I be okay to study with the 2011 materials? Yes. Yes. As long as they're updated for, again, July 2011. Emily writes, oh, and she also says, I'm using the Wiley Test Bank. Should I consider using another test bank? No. If you have a Wiley book and a Wiley test bank and you have your review course or maybe you have your Ninja notes, that's enough. Like, if you can do those questions, get in there and take the exam. I don't recommend supplementing with another test bank. Emily says, I took a review course for financial and studied for 6 months. I did everything they said. I completed all my multiple choice question simulations, reread the book. That's a mistake. Don't read your book. And completed the final exam on mock exams. I was scoring a 69% on the mock. Okay, let me back up. If your review course is telling you to read the book, then what's the point? You can buy a book and read it to yourself. The whole point of buying a CPA review course is for a more, well, it, I'm going to steal some auditing terms. It's efficient and it should be more effective. It's efficient because you don't have to read the book. And granted, your review course instructor cannot cover everything in the book. They just simply cannot. The course, the video course would be like 100 hours for financial. And that would be them reading from the book, which some of them do read from the book. But what they don't cover for, you know, there are certain topics that they won't cover. And your safety net for that is the multiple choice questions, which is why multiple choice questions are so important, because they can teach you the theory all day, but the theory in the book is different than the verbiage for the CPA exam questions and how you attack the question. Okay. So if they tell you to read the book, why? If there's material to learn that they're not covering, they should say, work out these questions. And by the time you get to question number 20 and are reading the answers as to why one question is right and the others are wrong, you should you should learn this supplementary material anyway. Man, I think telling students to read the book is, anyway. I was scoring a 69% on the mock exam, so I should not be surprised that I did not pass on my first attempt. I think there may be a better review course for my next try. Do you recommend switching review courses? Yes. Yeah. Well, again, why are you studying for 6 months for financial? You should study for 2 months. So, and that might be your problem too, because if you study for financial for 6 months, you spread it out too long. So let me rephrase my answer. Should you get a new review course? Not necessarily, because I don't think you have studied effectively by stretching it out over 6 months. Stretch it out for over 2 months. For financial, study 20 hours a week, and you can do it. I don't want to hear excuses about why you can't fit in 20 hours a week. The exception is for people who are going through busy week hell, and only you know if that's your situation. And if that is your situation, maybe you shouldn't study for right now. But for the most part, your average working person with a family and studying for the CPA exam can fit in 20 hours a week. I know, because I did it, and people do it all the time. And so if you study 20 hours a week for financial for 6 to 8 weeks, which puts you at between 120 and 160 hours, I recommend maybe 130, 140-ish. Get in there, take the exam. And so take your review course, and then take my Ninja Framework. If you don't have my Ninja notes, that's fine. I also cover the Ninja Framework in my free 50 Things book, which you can get at another71.com. Click on Free Stuff, and you'll get the Ninja outline, or the Ninja Framework there. But again, Ninja notes are always recommended. Just because it is both an effective and an efficient use of your study time, and the social proof is there. It works. Jennifer says, I just got my score on regulation and I passed. Now I'm not sure what to do next. My job is getting busy with year end and I'm a single mom. I scheduled financial for the beginning of February. I'm not sure if this is enough time for all the material for financial. I would move it to the end of February, especially if you're busy with year end and it's Christmas time and you're a single mom, you have a lot on your plate. Give yourself some extra breathing room, and I think you can reschedule your exam from beginning of February to the end of February without incurring a big penalty. So I would move it to the end of February and do it once, do it right, knock it out. Eric says, for the first quarter of 2012, which sections of the CPA exam are okay to use for 2011 review materials, assuming you have the latest updates? All of them. And is the 2012 CPA review, is your 2012 CPA review course going to be exactly like the 2011 review course? No. They might have an extra question in there about some little tweak, but we're talking about, it's a hallmark of accounting, cost versus benefit. If the cost outweighs the benefit, you don't do it. And in this case, the cost does not outweigh the benefit. So you can, for all material purposes, I think I was trying to say for all intents and purposes, but from a materiality standpoint, the CPA exam has not changed for 2012, assuming your review course materials are updated as of July 2011. Rachel writes, I passed three parts of the exam, but I'm stuck on audit. I took it in November 2010 and scored a 74. I got a 64 on my retake in July and another 64 again in November. I don't think priorities or motivation are my problem, so I think I need to switch review courses. I just bought the Ninja Notes and I'm interested in the Wiley Test Bank. I was wondering if the test bank you are selling is a 2012 edition. As it currently stands right now, this test bank I'm selling, it's online, so it still has the 2011 materials, but when they boot up the 2012 into the database, your subscription is automatically good. So you can study right now, and then when they update it, and I don't know when that will be, but sometime in January, you'll automatically get the 2012. So yeah, the answer to your question is yes. If you buy the Wiley Test Bank for me, you are getting the 2012 when it's available from Wiley. Tom writes, I've passed financial, BEC, and auditing and took regulation in the fourth quarter of 2011. I failed with a 68. So I failed regulation with a 68. I have two more shots at regulation before I lose my first credit in May. I used 2000 Wiley book plus the regulation ninja guide to prepare for the exam. I think I wasted a lot of time on business law during my studying and didn't devote enough time to tax. Any tips on putting me over the 75 mark? I was thinking to cram the supplement. I'm going to give myself at least until late February to study. Well, normally people spend too much time on tax and neglect business law, but business law plus the professional responsibilities area and business structures of regulation accounts for 40% of your exam. So it sounds like you focused on 40% of your exam. So it sounds like you spent the majority of your time worrying about 40% of the exam and left the other 60%, but you still scored a 68, which all things considered, that's good. I mean, if you really did focus on 40% of the exam, so what you need to do is have that same level of preparedness for the business law structures and responsibilities area for your next attempt. So make sure that you're still good to go in that area. But then for the tax portion, you really need to be as proficient for tax as you were on business law. And that's how you get the 75. And you have the 2011 Wiley book. I would definitely get the Wiley software. And so keeping your 2011 Wiley book, you have the Regulation Ninja, which has been updated for 2012, and I reformatted it, and people liked the new format. I took the feedback that people liked or didn't like, you know, some of the print features, some of the suggestions. I took those to heart, made those. People like the new edition. So, but for you, you get it free because you already purchased it. So just email me. I'll send the Reg Ninja to you for free. And then I would get the Wiley online test bank for sure. And focus on tax and make sure that your business law is up to par, just like it was when you last took the exam. Mark writes, do you know the actual procedure for a snail mail estate? Basically, the AICPA hands the scores down to NASBA. Then NASBA distributes them through their various channels. Most states have their candidates get their scores through NASBA. But other independent states like California, Illinois, Texas, they distribute their scores through their own system, which usually takes 1 to 3 days later. There's a 1 to 3 day delay. And then there's still some snail mail states. And with the snail mail state, I am pretty sure that NASBA just mails the scores to the snail mail state. And then the snail mail state mails them to you. Sounds pretty efficient, huh? Brian says, I've taken audit twice, and both times my report says I was either stronger or comparable in all areas except for my simulations. I think I had the multiple choice down really well. However, the task-based simulations are killing me. What advice, if any, can you offer? Well, everyone has trouble with simulations, it seems. It seems like everyone who fails seems to be weaker on the simulations. I've seen a few people who are weaker on the multiple choice and stronger in the simulations, but for the most part, people are weaker on the simulations. And how you do that, can you practice simulations? Yes. And I used to say to not practice simulations, but I'm kind of changing my tune on that. So if you have like the Wiley software, you can practice the simulations, but you never know what topic you are going to get. And you can practice 10 topics and get none of them as a simulation. So it's really important to make sure that you know how to navigate the simulation. So go to cpa-exam.org and practice the AICPA's sample exam. It's just a quick deal, and you learn how to navigate the simulation so that you don't have this big learning curve on exam day. Very important, especially for regulation, because you're under the gun and you have precious minutes left and you can't spend the time figuring out how to work the simulation. And you might think, well, how hard can it be? Well, if you have never gone into the IRS code for the research component and then searched for your term that you're looking for and then implemented it into your answer, you have to know how to do that because it's not necessarily intuitive. So make sure that you know how to navigate the simulations, but then also practice them. And on your next go around, and I realize like this is kind of a no duh answer, like practice simulations, but keep your multiple choice strong, practice some simulations. You know what simulations you saw. Of course, you can't tell anyone else, but you know what they were. So go and practice those. And will you see those again on your exam? Maybe. I saw duplicates. But even if you don't get those, I think when you do the simulations, you will have more confidence as you do them. Jen says, I've been working as an auditing staff in a non-Big Four international firm for a year and a half, and I'm one section away from passing. I've been toying with the idea of becoming a tax practitioner once I'm licensed, but I'm not sure how to make the switch. I don't exactly want to start over with going back to school, the whole internship thing. I already have an MBA and an MSA. What do you suggest? Okay, auditing staff in a non-Big Four firm wants to do taxes. Okay, yeah. I mean, why would you do an internship, as you said? Yeah, that's like... So what you do is you want to do taxes. Well, in your city, there are plenty of small firms. I got my start in a 5-to-6-person firm, and it was all women. And I was they called me their token male. And I got my start in tax doing that. And I learned how to do every type of tax there is, and I learned how to do real bookkeeping and real. I mean, there's a difference between working for some company out in industry, and you have this one small task, this one small area that is yours, in like general ledger accounting. You're in charge of the SOX controls, and you're in charge of the general ledger uploads. And you're in charge of keeping international accounting from posting information to trees that they don't have access to, and or you're in financial reporting and yeah, you're in financial reporting, but you're strictly for internal reporting purposes. And then you have SEC and external reporting, and you have your own little niche within this big broad spectrum called accounting. When you go to work for a small firm, you are the accountant for this mom and pop mechanic. I had a modeling agency. I had a liquor store. I had an urban clothing, wear store, like, and this was in the inner city in Kansas City, and it was a type of place where you would not necessarily feel comfortable going there at night. And when my client would come visit me, they would have, or inevitably one of his employees, he'd bring him along, would have a GPS tracking device on their ankle. And I'm sitting there talking to them. All of a sudden, the thing goes, like, there's this beep. And the problem was he had to go outside because the GPS thing was going off because the satellite couldn't track him through the building. So the little things that you run into when you work for a small accounting firm. But it's also one of the more fun jobs I've ever had, because you're working and your client picks up the phone to call you and to tell you a joke. I had a vacuum repairer business as one of my clients. And so you see everything, you know, you get to work on not-for-profit stuff. Chances are that your small local tax firm also does audits as well, because they just help pay the bills. And during the, you know, other than those 4 months out of the year, they need some revenue. So your audit work will also come in handy there, and you can be an asset to them. Of course, who knows? They might bring you in and say, no, we don't want you to do taxes. We want you to take over our audit department. So anyway, I hope that helps. Just go work for a small firm. Bill says, if financial has 90 multiple choice questions and 7 sims, how many multiple choice questions and how many sims will be trial questions and don't count toward your score? Is there any way to tell if a question is a trial question? Bill is referring to the pretest questions, and I believe up to 18 questions per, gosh, no, yeah, up to 18 questions per exam. Is that right? I think it's up to 20% of your exam can be pretest for multiple choice questions. And yeah, so 90 questions, 20% is 18. So up to 18% of your multiple choice questions can be pretest. So that is 6 questions per testlet could be pretest. 6 questions per testlet out of the 30 questions could be pretest. And then I believe 1 tab out of your 7 can be pretest. Is there any way to tell? No. But if it's some obscure, off-the-wall topic that's, to use a cliche, out of right field or left field, which we'll say out of center field, it's probably pretest. Go ahead and answer it, but don't spend 10 minutes freaking out over it. Nia says, my plan is to finish all 4 tests in 1 year. How much time do I have to study per day for a full-time job? What order should I take the exams? Well, Nia, go to another71.com, go to free stuff, and get my free study planner, and you see how many hours I recommend per section. It's an arbitrary number, but use it as a guide to adapt to your own unique situation. If you're going to take all 4 tests in a year, that means you have to take 1 per testing window. So okay, it's almost January. So you study January and February and take financial. You take financial at the end of February. You study March, and then mid-April you take regulation. And then from mid-April to late May, you take auditing. And then you study for BEC in June, and you take BEC mid-July. So really, that's how you can knock it out in a little over 6 months. So that's pretty aggressive. But you're still only taking 1 per window, which leaves you room for a retake if you fail. And that's how you knock it out within a year. And I would study 20 hours a week. And as far as which order, I would start with financial first. Get that out of the way. That way, your 18-month, you don't come up against the 18-month window still having what is regarded as the hardest exam still to pass. Abe says, after failing regulation with a 64, My performance showed I was weaker in all of the tax areas and stronger in business law. What should I do this time around that I come out stronger on both? Sounds similar to the other question about business law and tax. A 64, I mean, okay, you're stronger than the average passing candidate in business law. So your business law sounds good. Make sure that your level of preparedness for your next exam is as good as your previous exam, but you're really going to have to dive into regulation and you're going to have to get your hands dirty on some of those nasty topics like like-kind exchanges, AMT, 1231, 1245, 1250 assets, you know, corporate tax. Gift and estate tax isn't bad, but you still have to know it. Don't take individual tax for granted. Really got to know that. So you are going to have to dig in and get serious about tax. So bottom line. And I know tax is boring, but you have to do it. So your next step is if you don't have a good review course or if you don't have something like the Wiley book, the Wiley software, and the Ninja Notes, which are the bare essentials, you got to get those. Aneta writes, during the actual exam, how much time can I spend before the timer starts for me to write down all of the mnemonics and formulas that I've memorized in my head? Does the four-hour clock start when I sit down at the computer, or can I write down my mnemonics before you start? The four-hour clock starts when you hit go for the exam. Gosh, how does that work? Okay. I believe when you sit down at your computer, you have 10 minutes to enter your launch code. And if you don't, the session will stall out. I believe that's the case. But I can't quite remember. Well, or maybe you enter your launch code and then you have those stupid instructions, which really aren't stupid, but no one reads them. So I guess to bottom line it, don't dilly-dally. I know people that have been locked out because there's a 10-minute limit. And off the top of my head, I cannot remember if you enter your launch code first and then you have 10 minutes or if you have 10 minutes to enter your launch code. I'm going to go with you have 10 minutes to enter your launch code. But I would ask the person at the testing center. But people have been locked out because they didn't start their exam in time, and then they were up a creek without a paddle, and they could not take their exam that window. Yes, you can write the mnemonics down, but so four-hour exam, that means you're probably taking auditing. So, yeah, write some of your audit mnemonics down, your management assertions, your gas, stuff like that, but just get started. But the four-hour clock starts once you hit go after you read through the instructions. Okay, I have about six questions left, so thanks for sticking with me. Whew. Marie says, I currently have 2011 study materials and unfortunately didn't finish the exam. Do I need to get 2012 materials? You can if you want. Do a cost-benefit analysis. For all intents and purposes, the exam has not changed from a material standpoint. From a materials standpoint, that was dumb. So, no. As long as your exam materials are updated as of July 2011, you should be good to go. A lot of questions about that. Anthony says, I took auditing back on November 30th for the third time and scored a 58. Okay. I had the same weaknesses and strengths when I scored a 58 the first time. I felt the third time I took auditing, I had, quote, knocked the ball out of the park. Is it possible to have identical scores and weaknesses? Did the CPA exam make a mistake with my score? Yeah, it is possible to be weak and get the same score three times in a row. Happened with me on BEC, 71, 71, 71. I just wasn't studying hard enough. And then when I did study, I passed. Hence the name, Another 71. But with you and your 58, it means that you either are not studying hard enough, and you know whether or not you are, and how seriously you're taking it. Of course, I don't know you, so let's just assume that you are studying like 110% effort. Then what are you studying? Are you studying that 2006, 2007 book that someone else was using a few questions back? Mistake. Are you studying if you work well with a PowerPoint style of lecture and you're watching some live instructor babble on, mistake. So you're either not studying hard enough, or you're using outdated materials, or you are using the wrong review course, or maybe there's nothing wrong with review course, but you hate studying with it, so you're not studying, which means you need to get a different review course, which is why it's very important to always watch demos. Did the CPA exam make a mistake? No. Unfortunately not. Lola says, I'm concerned about tackling the research sims for the financial exam. I practice with the Wiley test bank, and it takes forever sometimes to find the correct answer. What technique did you use when you took the financial exams? When you took the financial exam, I did not study simulations ever, because it, from my opinion, it's a waste of time. But I've changed that a little bit because people are struggling with the simulation so much, which makes me think that with the new task-based simulations, it's different. When I took it, you had two simulations, and each simulation had a multiple choice question. Each simulation had a research component. Now it's six or seven tabs with the task-based. So it is different, and there's no writing for financial. So you really need to know how to – if you can – go to cpa-exam.org and do the practice test where you physically find the codification standard and attach it to your answer. If you know how to do that, then you should be good to go on exam day. So from a tactical standpoint, you need to know how to do that. So go practice that for sure. Pranav says, my state board has refused an extension of my credit for audit, even though the need for an extension is beyond my control. The state coordinator will not help me in my case. Is there anything I can do to make the board rethink their decision? No. Unfortunately not. You've asked. They won't do it. The whole CPA exam process is a pretty unforgiving process. And I understand why, because if they let people have extensions to various stuff, if they let one person have an extension because their child went to the emergency room that day, which has happened. I got an email a month or two ago about it. It was less than a month ago. They missed their exam because their child had to go to the ER that day. But they weren't allowed an extension, or they weren't forgiven for not showing up. They're listed as a no-show. And I understand it can seem cruel and heartless, but if the CPA exam people let one person give one person consideration because they had to go to the ER with their child, then they have to let you have an extension because you had a hangover. And you have a doctor's note to say that you had a hangover and you couldn't take the exam that day. Pretty simplistic analogy, but I think you know what I'm saying. Which is why when like the storms, like those winter storms last year, that I think it was in February, they had to extend the testing window into March for those people on the East Coast who physically could not get to their exam. They had to extend that for people on the East Coast, but guess what? people in California were able to take exams. It was kind of one of those, shh, don't tell anyone because we don't want a glut of people signing up. But if you do it for one candidate, you have to do it for all candidates. And I'm sorry about your situation, but hopefully you kind of understand. Rakesh says, can you tell me how to use the research item in the simulations and how to get into the FASB codification? Again, go to cpa-exam.org and practice it there. Victoria says, I'm married and have two kids, a four-year-old and a nine-month-old. I graduated with a bachelor's this year and I've been working for a few months as a tax accountant. I'm planning to sit for two exams in the summer and two next November. I'm extremely nervous as I hear more and more bad news about the exam. What advice do you have to help me successfully pass? I'm really scared that I'll have to keep retaking it because I miss my kids and work full time. Well, that's a consideration, but I think if you still study 20 hours a week, and I would not take two sections next summer. I would take one section at the end of February and then another section at the end of May. And unless you have busy season or something, which I understand, but even with busy season, tax season doesn't get gnarly until like March. Sure, maybe you have to work 7 days a week, but it's not like the insanity. So I would not take two sections in the summer, two sections in November. I would spread them out as much as possible. You're married. So maybe your husband, you say, hey, husband, I need to go study today on this Saturday from 10 a.m. till 3. Can you hang out and watch the kids? Well, your kids are four-year-olds and they're 4 and 9, which means from 10 to noon, maybe they watch a movie or something, some cartoons. At noon, feed the kids lunch. And from like 1 to 3, they're napping anyway. So you can tell I have kids. So maybe it's not as hard for your husband. Maybe so you knocked out 4 to 5 hours of studying on a Saturday and maybe it didn't disrupt your family that much. But you're going to have some give and take with your spouse. Your spouse must be on board. And if your spouse is on board, then for you, it's pedal to the metal every chance you get. Because if your spouse is willing to sacrifice, Victoria, then you have to sacrifice, which means maybe you don't check Facebook except for once a week. And maybe if you watch TV, you're watching TV because it's part of a scheduled date night between you and your spouse. Everything you do has a dual purpose. You're watching TV, it's for a date night. You're watching TV, it's family movie night. You go out, instead of going out to lunch at work, if you're going to go out to eat anywhere, you're going out to eat with your spouse. You're going out to eat with your kids. If it's just you, then you're sitting at your desk with a reheated Tupperware thing of lasagna and some pudding. So anyway, you get the picture. You can do it. Spread it out. Sacrifice. Win. Two questions left. What are the score release dates for the first quarter of 2012? Is there any truth to sitting in the first window having higher passing results? Go to another71.com, click on score release info. You'll see the updated dates. As far as the first window having higher passing windows, not true. The first quarter of each year historically has the worst pass rates. And it's because people are going through tax season and they're not studying. They're either not taking the exam or if they are, they're taking the exam and not doing well because they don't have time to study. Final question. Angela says, I recently finished the last of my four exams. I'm trying to get my CPA license in Massachusetts, but need to get an experience letter from PwC showing I worked the 1,000 hours to get a full license. When I called them, they said there's a form that I need to send to them requesting the information and that the form is available at the Massachusetts Board of Accountancy, but I can't find such a form. Have you heard of this form before? Do you have any advice for cutting through this red tape? Every Board of Accountancy is going to have some experience form. It's just simply as a PDF. You need to go find it. If you can't find it, pick up the phone, call the receptionist answering the phone should be able to help you. You don't even have to ask the director. Say, hey, receptionist, need your help. Hook me up. And they'll point you to say, click on blah, 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 blah. Boom, print it. You're done. Okay, everyone. Hope this marathon session has been helpful. As always, send your questions to another71.com. Go to another71.com. Click on the upper right-hand corner, ask Jeff, or go to facebook.com/another71.com. Leave your question or comment there. I know that some of you are listening to it, and I actually have a feeling quite a few people listen to this. Because I have people that say, hey, where's the podcast? I need it. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you listening. I am wishing you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. If I don't talk to you between now and then, take care, everyone. Talk to you soon.